Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Gospel of John is interesting because it does not record our Lord's baptism, but it assumes that you already know that it's happened. Because John the Baptist, speaking in our text today, is referencing back to that baptism. As he speaks of our Lord, he says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Now, John the Baptist's words here are pointing to an event that occurred at least 40 days before today's text. And yet today's text begins the next day. But we know when Jesus is baptized, according to one of my favorite expressions in Mark's gospel, Jesus was immediately taken out into the wilderness, as Mark does everything that way in his gospel. But he's immediately out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and there he was for 40 days. So it's at least 40 days after Jesus is baptized, but the day that is the next day from is when John is questioned. The Pharisees come and start asking John, "Are you the Christ? Are you one of the prophets? Are you Elijah?" And John answers no to all of those questions. And then they get a little bothered and say, "Then why are you baptizing?" And John says, excuse me, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah had said." And now it's the next day. And here John had been proclaiming his message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And like any good pastor, he now brings forth your gospel as the law has been proclaimed. And he points everybody to Jesus. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In John's gospel, in just chapter 1, Jesus is given many names. He's called the Word made flesh, right? The Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one Moses wrote about, the Son of God, King of Israel. But the Lamb of God is perhaps the most unusual name that Jesus is called. It's a technical term that connects us back to the Old Testament, having to do with Abraham and Isaac. You remember Isaac is taken up to be sacrificed by his father Abraham. He's actually the one bearing the wood that's going to be used to burn him on. And yet God provides the sacrifice, a ram in the thicket. That ram in the thicket, caught there for Abraham to sacrifice, is pointing us to the Lamb of God that is Christ. Calling Jesus the Lamb of God not only points to that event, but to the Passover, where the blood of the Lamb is put upon the doorpost and the lintels, so that the avenging angel would pass by on the night of the Passover, and the firstborn of Israel would be spared. In fact, calling Jesus the Lamb of God points to all the sacrifices ever given in the temple, or even to Adam and Eve when they were kicked out of the garden. All the blood of all the beasts that were ever spilled for the forgiveness of sins is tied up into this one person, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He is the Lamb of God. And He alone can take away the sins of the world. He alone is the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, who fulfills the law of God but doesn't abolish it. He is the one who saves by His blood, saving us from death through His death. He alone is the only one who can drink the cup of God's wrath all the way to the dregs. And we continue to receive benefit of this sacrifice as we partake of His one cup in His holy sacrament. So John says, "Behold." Little word, Ida. in the Greek. It's a little, it's take note. Look here. This is important. Pay attention. Behold. And beholding Jesus might seem easy at first until we think about what this title Lamb of God entails. For a bloody lamb is slaughtered and roasted, guts inside, all not a very pretty sight. Nor is the sight of the only begotten Son of the Father beaten and bloodied, shamed and humiliated, and hung on a Roman cross with nails and thorns and sweat and agony. Jesus isn't a pretty sight. It's not a pretty picture. But John tells us to behold, for this is the work of the Lamb of God, you see. Truth is, when we behold the Lamb of God, it can't be pretty, because the Lamb of God is bearing our sins, and they're not pretty. In fact, they're downright hideous, ugly, and sin's consequences of suffering, pain, and death add to it to make it uglier still. And you might just be sitting there going, okay, I get it, Pastor. Fine, sin is ugly. But you must think about it deeper than that, because the ugliness of sin is what we have. It's our sins that we're talking about, mine and yours, not somebody else's. You see, when you behold the Lamb of God who was slain and see the bloody mess that sin makes, that's our mess. Perhaps that's why we prefer our crosses to be bare. The crucified Christ is just too much for us to behold. It's repulsive to be reminded that it's our fault. Much like we become repulsed by certain sins. It's really kind of interesting how we do that. We get offended at certain sins and ignore certain other sins. Typically, the sins we're not committing but others are, those are repulsive. The ones we're committing that maybe everybody else we feel are as well, those are just fine. I mean, child abusers and drunk drivers, bad sin. Got to deal with them. People who cheat on their spouses, that's awful. We don't seem to get too bent out of shape about people who are cheating on their spouses with premarital sex before they're married. People who beat their spouses, awful. But we'll sit and watch two people in a ring beat the snot out of each other for our entertainment. What about the people who simply let their love grow cold, hardened their hearts to their neighbor's needs and necessities, those who are selfish, those who neglect to do the good that a child of God is called to do? What about people who just think evil thoughts all the time or hold lust in their hearts? Jesus condemns all these things. Thought, word, and deed, we confess of our sins. Not one of us are off the hook. This is why we must behold the Lamb of God, for He alone can take away the sins of the world. So Jesus is worshipped as King of the Jews, and He is declared the beloved Son of the Father. As the voice speaks from heaven and the Spirit descends in the form of a dove, showing John exactly who Jesus is and enabling John to go around pointing others to the Lamb of God. Maybe the people in the Old Testament had it a little better reminder for them and their own sinful state, as morning and night lambs were sacrificed every day. Morning and night a lamb sacrificed, its blood spilled, an endless stream of blood for an endless stream of sin, and its wake, which is death. And yet not one drop of that blood was enough to pay for our sins. Only this Lamb, the one John points us to look upon, the Lamb of God, is able to take away the sins of the world. And once you have truly beheld the bloody mess that our sins have caused, that our sin brings, then you are prepared to hear once again that He has taken your sins away. All of them. This is why Pastor Rafa had the privilege and benefit of saying to you today that your sins are forgiven. That means all of them. You are freed, not to continue in sin, but to be a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven. Your sins are gone. Jesus, the Lamb of God, without blemish or defect, or as St. Paul puts it when he connects the dots for us, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For there on the cross, Jesus becomes the ultimate sinner for all sin. He takes all our mess, all our sin upon himself, and he suffers for you and for me and for all people, and he dies. And there is nothing more important for us to behold, to look at, to pay attention to. For there in the Lamb of God, we see God's love for us sinners, and we are forgiven. And that lamb is slain only to rise again on the third day. And while we can't behold him on his cross or in his empty tomb, we will indeed see him face to face one day. For he lives forever, and we will live with him forever. That is, all who are joined to this Lamb of God, all who behold what he has done, all who are united to him in baptism, his death and his resurrection, at his table, in his body and his blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, in the hearing of his word that declares to us everything that this Lamb has done for us. For the Lamb who was slain is victorious, and his victory now becomes your victory, and we can have peace. So behold him today, for he comes to you in word and sacrament. Though we don't see him with our eyes, we behold him by faith. According to his promise, this is his body. This is his blood. Take, drink, take, eat. It's given and shed for sinners like us. This here is the Lamb of God. Take, eat, and drink. It is for your forgiveness. For the Lord drank to the dregs the wrath of God for our sins, and now provides for us a cup of blessing that has no end in his blood, in his precious name. We rejoice and have peace. Indeed, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.